Welcome to Gator Bites, the official business podcast of the Maryland Davies College of Business. I am your host, Miguel Gomez, and with us today we have Camila Sandoval, alumni of the class of 2021 from here at the Maryland Davies College of Business. Welcome to the program today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad. So just to kick things off, please tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm Camila. Like you said, I'm an alum here from UHD. I graduated, it's going to be 3 years now, in the summer of 2021. Mm-hmm. Now I'm working in marketing at an agency, which was kind of my dream job after graduating. And I'm originally from San Antonio, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not a Houstonian, even though I feel like I am.
You know, I feel like Houston's such a big international city. It draws people from all over the world.
Yeah.
The more important question is, do you claim San Antonio or do you claim Houston?
I claim Houston.
That's what's up.
Yes.
No. Bringing it back to Houston.
Yes.
You were here downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You went through your experience here at UHD.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to ask you, were you involved on campus?
Yes, I was very involved on campus. I miss it a lot. It was so, there was just a lot of energy, like when you're involved with the organizations and such. So I think my main thing is I was president with AMA here, mm-hmm. But I didn't start that way. I actually learned about AMA from FMA. I was an FMA member my first semester here.
Plot twist.
And then, yeah, and then I didn't know about AMA, and somebody heard me say I was a marketing major. So they came up to me and they were like, hey, do you know about AMA, blah, blah, blah. So that's how I became involved. Long story short, I became vice president and then president. And I was also involved in SGA and Council of Organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I claim home to like the College of Business, I was also at main campus a lot. So yeah, both of them dear to my heart.
I was really involved. I think that that's just something that's been a common theme through a lot of the interviews that I've done with alumni
and
students this semester, is that the just getting involved part is sort of like when you begin to come out of your shell and you begin to sort of step into your own as like who you are.
Yeah, exactly. You find who you are because you find people and like you go through experiences, and at least for me, like it really shaped who I became like once I graduated. And it was very clear to me like what I wanted to do after I graduated. And I think it's all due to like being involved, because it's extra from like your classes and such. You're like opening the doors to more opportunities, you know?
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Especially going back to some interactions that we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I really love about our friendship through the years is that we actually cemented it at a marketing competition.
Yeah, we did.
It was the American Advertising Federation.
Yes.
Student competition. And
yeah,
we were both competing representing U of H downtown. And I think your team won first place and I won third place in that competition.
That was awesome. Yeah.
But at the end of the event, we went to the hotel bar with our friends. We were 21 at the time and above.
Yes, and we were.
And we cheers our champagne flutes. And I think that's sort of how our friendship blossomed from there.
I think so.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. We went to AAF competition, but it was through AMA. I remember Dr. Pointer like made that possible for us. So shout out Dr. Pointer. And yeah, that basically solidified our friendship. Fun fact, we're really good friends.
No, we're trying not to giggle a lot while we're on the couch today. No, but on a serious note, I want to ask you, you know, fast forward to you've graduated, you're now working in the digital marketing space.
Yeah.
Walk me through your day-to-day working in your work as a digital marketer, and what is it like to be at an agency?
That is a loaded answer. It's going to be a loaded answer. I think the day-to-day at an agency, I think, just varies. Like, depending on, because at the end, it's an agency, but it's a company like every other company. So, like, culture and people affects your experience there.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking in broader terms, I think it also depends on if it's a large agency or a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to work at both types. Right now, I'm at a small agency. And I wear many, many hats, a lot more than I did at the larger agency, because there's more of a structure at a larger agency. Your role is more defined and you kind of like stay in your lane more.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know who to go to when you need something. And now at my role, it's literally five of us. So it's a really small agency. and you have to be very resourceful. Like, you don't always have someone to ask something if you don't know how to do it. Or if you have a question, like, you don't have a superior that's like in the same department, or like a coworker in the same department that's been there maybe a year longer and you can ask them. So that's what's been different about my agency experience. But regardless, I think, like, to work at an agency, you have to be very resourceful and kind of ready to be like thrown in the trenches, because you're working with clients. So like, you never know if something's gonna come up. Like, your day-to-day is very different. Today is very different from what yesterday was like, and tomorrow is gonna be different from today. I just know that. So agency life is, it's fun, but it's very fast-paced.
You know, I think I've always enjoyed that about marketing, the fact that it's fast-paced, but you're also having to be creative in coming up with solutions.
Yes, exactly. That's another way to like use your creativity, right? Like, a lot of times in marketing, people think it's just a creative role. That's not true. Like, that's true for like graphic designers or like creative marketers, like in that space. But I think on the other side of your more tactical and strategic, you still, like you said, need that creativity, because it's a lot of problem solving. And a lot of times it's not going to be like, oh, there's a solution for that already. No, you have to find it. So
I have to ask you, it sounds like you're used to coming up with solutions on a day-to-day basis that are creative. Tell me about one of your most memorable client projects that you've worked on in the marketing space.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I can talk about specific projects, actually, because of like NDAs or whatever. No. But I think like website projects have been some of the most memorable. So like, just being there from start to finish, like the discovery phase to where kind of like, you ask the client what they want to get out of it, what's the goal. When you build a website with like a marketing focus, a lot of times there has to be a goal. And a lot of times it's lead generation, obviously. So starting from that, like, that's kind of the core. Like, the design considers that, the copy considers that, the SEO considers that. So it's been interesting to like be in those website projects and just see how they come to fruition, like literally from the very start to finish.
I'd love to hear that. And more often than not, I think that one of the more exciting things that is the leading edge of innovation in marketing right now is AI. How has AI thrown a curveball into your marketing processes?
I think on a positive note, it's helped. So like, I found a lot of things that you can do with AI in the terms of like smart chats, you know, like ChatGPT, Bard, Gemini, I want to call it Bard, and like Copy AI. I use those three a lot, mostly Gemini. I use it as kind of like my like personal assistant, literally. I just ask it how to do things. And like I mentioned before, you have to be very resourceful, and a lot of times you don't have the answers. And it takes a long, you also have to be efficient, and it takes a long time to like go into Google and do research and like figure out how to do something. So what I've found is I just ask Gemini, like, how do I do this in GA4, or how do I do this in HubSpot or SEMrush? And it just tells me like step by step. A lot of times it'll be like, you have to kind of match with the actual platform, because it won't do it exactly, but it's been really helpful in that way. So it's thrown a curveball in that way, but I think in another way is like the way that now you can make creative visuals using AI. So like graphics, even videos, just all of that. I think there's a big shift there.
What does that landscape look like in the next 5 years?
I think we're already kind of seeing where it's going with like the smart chats, you know, like you can ask it to make presentations and analyze data and find patterns here and there. So we kind of see where that's going. I think what's going to catch up in the next 5 years and like really explode, just my opinion, is what I was talking about, like the creative side of things. So like, a lot of times for companies, especially like small businesses or medium-sized businesses, they can't afford to hire like a graphic designer or a videographer. And just creative work is sometimes hard to find, like really good creative work, and a lot of times it's expensive too. So I think AI coming into the picture and like almost providing a solution for that is what's going to be most viable for those businesses. And I think in the next 5 years, it's going to develop into being a very solid solution for them. So they won't need to source out like a freelancer to create graphics or a videographer that's super expensive and they need to create a whole budget around it. Like, they'll just have AI to create it. And I think that's going to be a big shift.
That sounds like a lot of exciting opportunities, but we'll also see what happens in the next 5 years. This will be nice play back to see where we're at in this space and time.
Yeah.
As we approach 2030. Jesus.
I know. That's crazy. I feel like there's a lot of talk about AI and it's just opinions out there. Like, nobody really knows what's going to happen, you know, because even now we're reaching certain limits that I don't think we thought we would reach like this soon. So there's like talks like about creating laws around it and like privacy and things like that, and are they gonna outsmart us? So I feel like we don't know. It's all opinions.
It's all sort of a black box right now.
Yeah.
No, and you know, on the flip side, I want to ask you, so to bring it back to the present, you know, you've talked about some of the exciting marketing projects that you worked on with building websites, and then you also talked about the insight of what's happening in the industry right now and what it looks like in the years to come. But I want to bring back to today. Some of the aspects of marketing can be a little bit challenging for first-time business owners or small companies. What are some common marketing pitfalls that you see marketers perform, and what are some ways that they can just sort of move beyond that?
That's a good one. I think a lot of times, like, just in broader terms, smaller companies may not know how to spend their budget. So I think a lot of times they think marketing is a luxury and there has to be a lot of budget for it. And, you know, let's spend on ads and let's do this. I think if you don't have a goal and at least, you know, a simple strategy behind it, there's no point in doing that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times really good marketing campaigns are not even paid. You don't need a budget for it. It's not a luxury. I think it's just about, it's as simple as understanding who you're sending your message to. Because at the end of the day, marketing is about the messaging, right? Like, there's a lot of noise out there and there's a lot of content and a lot of clutter that we get fed daily, like hourly.
Yeah.
So how do you stand out and how do you actually get that person that needs to convert, that needs to be your customer? And I think those are the biggest pitfalls I see. Like, companies, they don't know that, just because it might seem like an obvious thing for us as marketers, but it's not. And the most important thing is knowing, like, who is your audience? Who are you speaking to? And what is that ideal person that you need to bring on? Because if you know that, then you know exactly like how to appeal to them visually and how to appeal to them with your message. And it kind of goes from there. I think you learn with the data and with the behavior of, you know, those users that you are targeting. So the biggest pitfalls I see is just companies that may not consider that. And they just kind of blindly go into it without a strategy, without looking at data. That's another big one. Like, if you're making decisions without looking at data, don't.
Just don't. No.
Don't
but
do that.
But the data drives essentially what your motivating factors are, yeah. And it essentially guides your strategy. So it's a way to also leverage what you know about the customer so that you're able to meet them where they are.
Yeah. And not everybody has access to like their own data, maybe like their own website data or app or whatever it is. But you can do research. Like, there's public data out there on potential customers, and there's a lot of data out there. So I think it's just a matter of getting it and knowing what to do with it.
Wow. I think that's a good segue into something that I really want to ask you about next. You know, cutting through the noise, that's one of the most challenging things as a marketer.
Yeah.
But, you know, cutting through a lot of the job postings, that's also another challenging aspect for first-time marketing grads.
For sure.
How do you find those reputable marketing jobs that aren't within the multi-level marketing space, or something that sort of feels within the pyramid scheme space? Or, you know, that's something that I feel like was challenging whenever I went through my job search the first time around.
Yeah.
Is that something that you encountered?
Yes. And I think because they know who to target and they know that, like, you know, recent college grads or people that are about to graduate, they just know how to get you. And so it's just a matter of kind of like looking at those red flags, like doing your research. That's something that I don't think that's something that we're not really told. Like do your research on the companies, right? Especially someone like me that's first gen and like an immigrant. I didn't have that guide. So for me, it was kind of just like, just get a job. Like that's what matters, getting a job, right? Nothing else matters. Like I didn't think about culture, about the people at the company, about what it's like. So I think a lot of people are kind of in that boat when they're getting ready to graduate or they just graduated. So it's just about looking for the red flags and making sure that you do your research, you cover your ground, you ask questions too. Like I think a lot of times we also feel like it's an interview, right? So they're just asking us questions and it's not that way. I think it's two ways. You're also vetting the company and seeing if it's a good space for you. So you can always get as far as until you say yes and you accept the offer, right? So just go as far as you need to figure out what you need to know and look for those red flags.
I think that's really important. Is there any job search boards that you use, something that's reputable from your time at AMA?
Well, AMA has a job board and I think it's very reputable. Job boards that kind of require companies to actually pay to be on them, I think are the most trustworthy. And AMAs is that way. So companies that are on that job board, they have to pay to be there. And that's how you know they're serious, right? Because they're paying money to actually like recruit a candidate. So that's, I think, number one, that's like a safe way to know they're reputable. Number two is just if you see a job that is interesting to you and, you know, research the company, like Google the company. And if you don't see anything pop up with like a Facebook page for them or like a LinkedIn or their like Google Maps thing, if you don't see anything pop up, like that's a big red flag. Don't go for it. I try to look at their social media and like see what they're like on there. If they have pictures about like their people and stuff, that's a bonus. Videos. So just like companies that have an online presence, I think at this point it's safe to say like, you know, it's a pretty reputable company. If at this point your company doesn't have an online presence, I think it's just not trustworthy.
And I think that's so important. You know, you don't want to end up getting ghosted during the middle of your job search because you put your chips on this company that might not exist. But ultimately, it sounds like you understand how to navigate those pitfalls. And, you know, it just falls back mainly on just doing your research.
Yeah, do your research. I know it's not the answer a lot of people want to hear, but there's no other way.
You got to put in the time.
You got it. Yeah, you got it.
No, so, you know, you mentioned AMA Houston. You were actually the recipient of the Penny Todd Scholarship.
Yeah, I was.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you please tell us a little bit about that experience and why are scholarships so important for marketing students and what are some ways that they can apply for this scholarship as well?
Yeah, well, it was actually 2020 when I got that scholarship. So it was like the best thing to have, because we all know 2020, what that was like, and we couldn't come to campus. We were doing school online. So that was just a little something that kind of kept me going, because I think a lot of us went through periods of like feeling discouraged or like disconnected, you know, when all that happened. So getting that scholarship like during that time was really good for me. I think it was like a huge motivator, like it is worth it, let's finish strong. Like I was almost done. So but I think it's important to get scholarships, not only because it helps you pay for school, like that's the biggest perk, but I think to also give yourself some credibility, right? Like when you're applying for jobs and that's on your resume, like it's something else that is speaking to your skills and to yourself. Instead of you just speaking for you, you kind of have like, hey, like I also got this, which means, you know, I won above all these other candidates. So that says something about me. So I think on that front, it's also really important. That's why scholarships are really important, because it just shows more of you and it kind of gives you more credibility.
No, that's good to hear. And I also think back to not only the scholarship component, but also the getting involved on campus.
Yeah.
You know, you were involved as AMA president. What impact did that have on you, and why are student orgs so important?
I love this question. But also, I have to do a shameless plug here. Penny Todd scholarship applications are open right now. So if you want to apply, you should. but anyways, back to your question. Literally, like, being involved is what got me here. Like, that's why it's important. Like, you become part of a community, which I think is the most valuable thing. Because even if maybe, like, you can't go to all the events, and so you're like, it's not worth joining, like, I work two jobs, I don't even have time for this. Because I knew a lot of people like that, and I know at UHD, a lot of us are like that. You know, we're working our way through school, and we're fighters. So I get that. I know that a lot of people don't have the luxury of time for it, but it doesn't matter. Like, just join, because even if you can't physically be there, like, you're becoming a part of a community that is going to be there for you, and it's going to support you, and it's going to help you. So even if you can't find a job, like, being part of the organization during your time in school, like, they will be the ones to help you get a job after. They'll be the ones, like, sharing your LinkedIn posts that you're open to work. They'll be the ones looking out for other job opportunities. It's your community. So I think a lot of times, like, people will think that it's the physical aspect and, like, going to the events and being a member that's involved, but it's also a community. It's not just an organization. So I think that's why it's important. It opens up a lot of doors, and it gives you, like, an extra cushion to, you know, fall back on, and a support system.
It's sort of, it takes a village to raise not a child, but in this case, a professional.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I love that.
No, and it's all about becoming that well-rounded person. And yes. You can have that group of people that you can fall back on. And it sounds like it's something that really helped propel you to where you are. And, you know, one of the reasons why we're sitting on the couch today.
Yes, actually. And, like, honestly, you never know. There might be that one event that you can go to, and it changes your life forever. Like, you just mentioned that, so it made me think of this one event that I went to as a volunteer and literally changed my life. Like, it's the reason why I have the job that I have today, because of the people that I met at that event. And I almost wasn't going to go because it was last minute. Mm-hmm. I had just gotten back from out of town. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show up, because every time I show up, like, something, I get something out of it. And that day in 2019 is the reason why I'm here at my job where I am now. And I mean, you just never know what can happen when you join these communities.
And, you know, showing up is half the battle. The fact that you're in the present in the room, that means you're top of mind.
Yeah.
And whenever the time comes for that opportunity, that means that you just opened that door for yourself by just creaking it a little bit open.
Yeah.
And were you hired that same year, or was it?
No. So that was, like, in 2019, and I was still a student. But I met someone that was literally fundamental in me getting my job where I am at now. And he's become a mentor for me. His name is Henry Adasso. Actually, he's an author, and he's a digital marketer. He's a marketer as well. And I met him that day. So that's why I say, like, that just really changed a lot of things for me, because he's been fundamental in, like, my growth and just particularly the job that I'm at today.
I think that opens a really good question for mentorship.
Yeah.
How important is it, as not only just a marketer, but as a professional, to have a mentor and to have someone to is able to help you develop?
So important. I think especially for me, like, being first gen, an immigrant, like I mentioned, having a mentor is kind of that guide that you don't get from, like, your parents, because you just don't get it. They didn't have that same experience. And so it's really important. But I think it's also important to, like, choose your mentor right. Mm. Because I had another mentor in the past, and, like, you just have to pick and choose, like, what advice is valuable to you, right? She would give me advice that, honestly, now that I look back, it was not the most valuable. And we don't have a relationship anymore. But, you know, I think it's important to have a mentor, but I also think it's important to, like, know yourself and your boundaries, because if you let a mentor guide you, like just any mentor guide you, they could guide you through a path that may not be the best for you, just because of their own personal experience. So I think it's important to like look at that. What is their experience, and does it look similar to where you want to go in the future? And just be mindful of like the things they tell you.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because you don't want to get to a point where the word mentor, you know, cheapens in value. It's someone that's actually going to provide guidance to you, and they're going to be able to sort of shepherd you and provide some stepping stones so that you're able to see, am I on the right path?
Yep.
Am I going where I need to go?
Yeah. And have the best interest in you.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's, I just saw a LinkedIn post like yesterday, and she was saying something about an old mentor she had, and she had told her salary that she was going for at a new job. And her mentor was like, that's way too much. Like, they're never going to give you that. I've never even gotten that much. So I think you're dreaming way too big. And, you know, the LinkedIn post goes on to say, like, she was wrong. Now I make a lot more than that number that I gave her. And it was just her own limits of her own, like, dreams and what she thought she was capable of were being reflected onto her, onto this the person that made the LinkedIn post. And that resonated so much because it reminded me of my old mentor that I had. And it's just, it's important to like not let their limits and their beliefs affect you, you know?
The possibilities are limitless, just like that Bradley Cooper film. Anything is possible if you really do set your mind to it.
Yes.
But I want to ask you something that, you know, some of our audience members might understand in Spanish. ¿Quieres hablar de tu podcast?
Depende.
Depende de qué.
I love that.
You know, and you know, just to translate it to our audience, I asked our audience.
Yes.
Do you please tell us about your podcast?
Yes. Well, it's in the works. You won't be able to see it yet or hear it yet, but we're kind of doing this shift. We did put out some initial episodes last year. But it's in the works, and I'm really excited because we're actually working with a local Houston artist on the visuals and like the colors and the branding, and he's actually a UHD alum too, so I'm really excited about that. And there's a lot of like, I don't know, I can't say much, but I'm really excited about it, and we don't have an official date yet, but for sure by the summertime, we'll be out and live and you'll be able to see it. But it's more of a fun, like, it's a different type of podcast. It's called Depende de Qué, and it's in Spanish, but also English. So Spanglish, if you will. And it's going to kind of have that format that we just did, where we prompt a question and it's like, it depends on this, but in Spanish. And we're going to also have people ask questions, and we're going to have guests. So,
I don't know.
And yeah, I'm pumped about it. I'm very excited.
No, that's really cool. You know, it's funny that, in a sense, our marketing journeys have sort of paralleled one another.
Yeah.
We both, at one point, we actually worked in the same agency.
We did.
And a few of our other UHD Gators also currently work at the same agency that we started at, but
they do.
You know, now it gets to the point where you're on my podcast today,
yeah,
and hopefully I'll be on your podcast someday in the future.
Yes,
but you know, in terms of exploring these new mediums, why is it so important to just keep innovating and keep trying new things as marketers?
Well, I think, you know, in general, if you choose marketing, like, it's because you have that, I think, in your personality. Like, you constantly want to learn and grow and what's new, because marketing is always changing. Like, if you learned something last year, I promise you it has changed this year. And that's why certificates, like a lot of times certificates for Google and stuff, they expire after a year because it changes. And so same thing with us. I think as creatives, it's important to have like those side like passion projects, you know, and just a way to express your creativity without any boundaries, because you exercise like that muscle, and I think it's so important for continuing to grow and continuing to have new ideas and create new things. And what's the world without art, you know? I love art, and I think art comes in a lot of shapes and forms. It's not just like the basic understanding that we have of art. Art is even things that we can't see and feel. So That's why I think it's important.
Well, that's incredible. I have to ask you, this is just something that I have as a marketer, but was there a piece of advertising or marketing that influenced your decision to go into marketing from a young age?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the reason I chose marketing is fashion, actually. I wanted a career in fashion, but long story short, yes. Also, Coca-Cola, like, very much inspired my interest in, like, marketing because marketing is not advertising, but that's what we see, like, growing up, the commercials and stuff. So all that advertising for the Coca-Cola and, like, you know, the Coca-Cola polar bear and the way that their branding has evolved is so interesting to me. So that's always been I've always been inspired by that.
I love how they tug at the heartstrings with the little polar bear.
I know, right?
But you know, that's good to hear, because you know, now that you're in the field, things look different. Mm-hmm. I want to bring you back to day one. We're coming up on the end of our interview.
Okay.
But you know, I want to bring it back to the first season of Camila at UHD.
Okay.
What advice would you give to yourself, and essentially, you know, for any marketing grad who's scared or they're struggling right now to find their next opportunity, what would you tell them?
I was in your shoes. So I would say there's nothing to fear. I think we instill our own fear, and there's nothing actually to fear. And for me, it was kind of just ripping the Band-Aid and becoming involved. SGA was like my first thing. So I would say you're already here. Like, you're paying for school, or somehow, some way, like, you're investing into going to school, your time, your money, your energy. And I think you should just make the most of it, and not let that fear, like, take that away from you. Just become involved, like, find your people, find those communities. And it's okay, like, you don't have to be the loudest person in the room. I'm definitely not. I would say I'm more of a shy person, like, especially when I'm initially, like, entering a new, like, situation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the most, like, hey, I'm Camila, and like, I'm not very much like that. So, but then I became super involved, and it was just a matter of, like, finding people that I did feel comfortable with, and going, showing up to those events, and, like, someone like you. And just having fun with it. Just have fun. Like, I miss it so much. And the most important thing I always say is, like, play your student card. Like, I wish I had it. I had my student card still, but I don't. It's gone. But what I mean is, like, when you go when you go to networking events or, like, any event, play your student card. Like, I'm a student. I'm just here to learn. Like, ask questions, because people love that. Like, when I used to go to networking events that were, like, not at UHD or, like, only students, and it was, like, adults, it was very scary. I would just play my student card and be like, oh, I'm a student at UHD and I'm studying marketing. And their, like, approach changes completely. They're like, oh, you're a student. And they, like, want to teach you everything, and they, like, want to tell you everything and, like, take you under their wing. I'm being a little bit dramatic, but that's how their attitude is. So have fun with it. Like, play your student card, and make the most of your time, because it'll fly and you'll miss it.
2 years flew by just like that. I'm about to wrap up my MBA.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. But just to wrap up, in a sense, going back to what you're saying, the real imposter syndrome is the fear within us.
Yes.
That's the imposter.
Yes.
Because we have what it takes to do it. It just takes a little bit of luck, a little bit of courage, and just to play the student card a little bit too.
Yeah, no luck. I would say just, like, courage, like you said. And like you also said, we're limitless. So just knowing that and actually believing it.
What are we doing in 2024?
We're being limitless.
We're shattering those ceilings. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the program today, Camila. This has been Gator Bites, the official business podcast of the Maryland Davies College of Business. Remember to follow us on our social media channels, and don't forget to take a bite out of business, and we'll see you later, Gators.